Now that most companies in America allow at least some employees to work a flexible schedule, they might work at home or their hours might vary or just work a couple of days a week, both companies and their employees are fine-tuning the effort. As Judy Martin reports, even companies with flex schedules are finding that nowadays it's more important than ever.
It's Wednesday. Three-year-old triplets are waving their mom off to work in the foyer of their family's Victorian home in Westchester, New York.
Bye, Mama.
Bye. Give me a kiss. Mwah. I love you.
Tim Moore, daddy, is parked on a big wooden chair. On his lap, Lewis, Riley, and Regan. Then it's off to the kitchen for breakfast.
Pancakes.
Tim Moore is an investigator for BDO Seidman, an accounting and consulting firm in New York City. He works from home one day a week. When the babysitter arrives, he heads to his home office.
So the morning is the quality time. Spending more than one day home, it wouldn't be feasible.
The Moores engineered their own work-life flexibility. Tim Moore has clients in Asia, Europe, and the Middle East, so it's challenging. The 24/7 high-tech business machine doesn't stop for naps, and corporate America is adjusting. In a recent survey, the Alliance for Work-Life Progress found that a large majority, 84% of companies, offered some form of work-life flex, but it's not one size fits all.
Obviously, there are only certain job titles that lend themselves for folks being able to work from home.
That's Donna Dolan. She's the Northeast point person on work and family policy for the Communication Workers of America. In the collective bargaining process, she says, work-life flex takes a back seat to wages and health care. To commit to a flexible working culture, a company must spend money and time. Dolan says they have to assess policies, create flexible positions, implement new scheduling programs, and allow employees to voice their needs.
They're going to find that they are going to have to bend where they've never bended before in getting managers this training.
But Barbara Taylor, chief counsel for BDO Seidman, says the consequences far outweigh the upfront costs. For example, to replace a mid-level manager like Tim Moore, it could cost well over 150% of his annual salary.
There's an extreme business imperative that underlies the flexibility initiative in particular. And so anything that we can do to hold on to a talented person contributes to our bottom line.
Taylor speaks from firsthand experience.
Hi, sweetie. How was school?
That's Taylor greeting her 5-year-old son, Luke, home from school. She knows a lot about work-life flex. She's been working from home 2 days a week for a decade and says flex arrangements work best when championed by the company and the employee equally.
It needs to be approved. It needs to make sense. You need to be working with a good, self-starting, trustworthy employee. And then also to have the ability to reevaluate the situation down the road if it isn't meeting the needs of the business.
Or the employee, says work-life strategist Callie Yost. She's the author of Work Plus Life, Finding the Fit That's Right for You. She says when companies view work-life flex as a strategy instead of a perk, everyone benefits.
Improved client engagement, improved communication, and people are more productive and more engaged. So you begin to see the other benefits besides just that hard, quantifiable return on investment. And that's harder for companies. But the smart ones are going to see that the horses have already left the barn.
As for Tim Moore, there is no turning back. He juggles, but always says good morning and good night to the triplets, whether upstairs in his office or on a brief 2 a.m. phone call from the Middle East. For NPR News, I'm Judy Martin in New York.